Welcome to the podcast of New Creation Christian Center. I am Pastor Marquise Franklin, and I am excited that you would take the time to listen to our latest sermons and what God is doing in this ministry. New Creation Christian Center is in Seattle, led by Pastor Harold and Annis Franklin. And our statement is, come as you are and be transformed by the word of God, as stated in 2 Corinthians 5:17. Now, I don't know what you're going through, but I want you to be encouraged by the word of God that is going to be shared today. Check it out.
Pastor Marquise is coming. Let's give him a hand as he comes. Hallelujah. I won't be before you very long, but we are going to continue in what I talked about last week. Let us first pray. Amen. Heavenly Father, I thank you to God for this time, this ability to be here. Dear God, I pray to God that you would just use what you have put in my spirit, dear God, to be able to impact all of us, oh God, myself included, oh God, as we continue to grow. In Jesus' name we pray. Let the church say, amen. All right. So, last time I preached, which was last week, I talked about growing. Anybody remember some of the stuff I talked about, which areas we could grow in? Anybody want to share on what you remember from last week? Yeah, growing in the Word. How do we do that? Oh, yeah. And how many of you got memorized verses, the scriptures from back in the back? Did anybody? All right. Precious got some. What I started doing was the phone. You have so much phone technology, so you can have a memory verse pop up any time in the day. And what I try to do is read it three times. So that way, you know, there's a memory verse coming into me. It's the same verse, too. So I read it three times so that as I continue to read it, it gets into my spirit. And the one that I actually memorized, it talks about the Holy Spirit and how he will bring to remembrance the word of God. And what does it say? He won't speak on his own accord, but he will only speak what he's heard from the Lord. Amen. So obviously I'm still working on that. Anybody else want to talk about some areas that we are or we should be growing in God? In our praise. I don't think I talked about that too much, but that's good. Faith, prayer. Prayer, right? Hungering for God. We should always have some place where we look at our walk with God and say, okay, I'm okay, but guess what? I need to grow. I say this all the time. Christianity is not residual. What does residual mean? That means you can make residual money. That's a great way to make money. All right, that's when you sit down, you did something one time, and that one time pays you for the rest of your life, right? Some people that did movies, if they only do one movie, but it was a great movie, they can get paid for the rest of their lives. But in Christianity, you can't, you know, just do one thing and think you're going to be paid for the rest of your life. You have to continue to grow in God and mature in the faith. Amen? So today, we're going to talk about growing in the area of your mind. Somebody say, my mind. Now, how many of you know that your mind limits your growth many times in God? What do I mean by that? I mean, how many people have heard somebody say that, oh, that person prayed for somebody and they got healed, but I don't really believe that, right? Or you know, I saw this guy doing this, and not only did I see it, I read it in the Bible, how Peter walked on water, but that's impossible, right? Some people believe these things because their mind cannot understand it. But us, as we are led by the Spirit of God, this does not mean that we go and walk on water, right? We don't have to walk on water to prove that Peter and Jesus walked on water, right? But those things were done to strengthen faith. Amen? And I don't know what kind of different situations you go through, but some of the things that you go through, people think you're not going to be able to make it. But how many know that's another opportunity for God to show up and your faith to be strengthened. Amen. You don't just go through things. We need to grow through things. Amen. Let's go to my first scripture. And like I said, I will not be in front of you very long. We're going to go to Romans chapter 12, verse 1 through 2. And I actually got a real Bible, so I'm turning pages. I don't say want to say real, but you know what I mean. A Bible that you have to turn the pages, right? It says this, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your body a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And it says, and do not be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Now, this is a scripture I've preached on many times. But as we talk about growing, one way to grow in your mind, this is not just growing in knowledge. This is not just growing and reading a dictionary and, oh, I'm growing in my mind. We're talking about how does your mind grow in God? Amen? So I'm going to say this. Your mind has to be changed in order to grow in God. Amen? Now, the interesting thing is it doesn't say renewing of the mind is not just a one-time thing. Think about something that you need to renew. Right? Okay, here's a great example. Every year, if you drive, you have to renew your license or your tabs or something, right? At least your tabs. Why do you have to renew your tabs? We don't know. I don't know why they set this thing up, right? But they just want to make sure your car is in working order and they get a fee for it, right? But how many know that we have to do a renewing of our mind similar to that? Matter of fact, we should do it daily. There should be times in your life where you read something and you might not, check this out, you might not agree with what you read, but you say, God, help me agree with what you said. God, help me understand this thing because it doesn't seem, for example, anybody read the scripture in the Bible that says, pray for your enemies, right? Now that sounds great until you got enemies. Right? Anybody ever did something wrong to you and the Bible tells you to pray for them? Okay, for example, you guys know there was a shooting in a church. And I was listening to a radio show I listen to frequently called Track Stars Radio. And there was a lady in there whose child was killed. And I guess the kid was, the guy that did the shooting was going to his court case or whatever. They asked the mom, how do you feel? And she was like, I need help forgiving right now. Right now, I can't do it. Right? Now, that's a real situation. And they had a debate on, is that okay for her to feel that way? Or is it wrong? Is it against the Bible? Now, guess what? It is against the Bible. But she is facing a real situation where now the word of God has to either go above what she believes, or she's going to believe above what the word of God believes. That's a place where you can either grow or let go, right? You can either grow in this situation. Now, I'm just going to say this. I do not want to say it like that's a simple thing to do. Sometimes forgiving somebody that has harmed your family, killed your family, is a very difficult thing to do. But I'll tell you this, as difficult as it is, as believers, our first and foremost thought should be to do what God's word says. Now let's put this in a biblical context. God's son was killed, right? But Jesus' very words while he was dying was, Lord, forgive them, right? Now, this is Jesus. Obviously, he has no fault. He has no wrong. But if we don't have a heart that forgives, the Bible tells us this, that if we don't forgive man who we do see, Or it actually says if we don't love the brothers who we do see, but if we don't forgive, God will not forgive us. Right? Now somebody, Marquise, you just made that situation way bigger than what it is. Well, no, not if you are living by the word of God. Now, if you don't have that heart, your prayer should be, God, help me to forgive this person. God, I don't want to forgive this person, right? This is a battle that you have to go through in your mind as you are allowing the word of God to change you. Because how many know that it's not an easy thing to obey the word of God at all times? Or else you'll be sinless, right? But you're not. Even as believers, there are still things that God is teaching us and telling us, okay, it's time to grow. There are sometimes you might see certain things that trigger stuff. And guess what? You can either allow those things to manifest, or you can start speaking the word of God over your life. Or you can start saying, God, help my mind to get right so that I am flowing in what you want me to flow in. Amen? And it's very easy. It's little things that can do that. But that's when you know you need to grow. Amen? Now, check this out. Some people see those situations and they'll say, well, I'm just a sinner. Anybody heard somebody say that before? Are you a Christian or are you a sinner? Say, I'm just a sinner saved by grace. Sometimes when people say that, what they're trying to say is, I have the option to sin because I'm just human. Right? But not as a Christian. You may mess up, but it should not be, oh, I'm just a human. Let me let that just pass. No, that's not what should happen. You should say, God, I know that I fail right here, or I've messed up, but help me right now, God, so I don't do this again. That's called repentance. All right? Now, let me say something about repentance when it comes to your mind. Repentance is not just saying, God, forgive me, help me not to do that again, and then you just hope he doesn't help you do it again. Your mind has to change, right? So the thing that triggered your sin, you need to block it next time if you want to walk in freedom and walk in repentance. Now, some people say, oh, man, I couldn't stop it. That's because you keep putting yourself in the same situation. You ever thought about that? Ever think about there's a pattern to sin when it comes into your life? There's a pattern. You do this, this happens, and oh, man, I'm in a situation. Right? But if you start thinking about it, okay, God, help me, and then the Spirit of God, the Bible tells you that every opportunity that comes up, every temptation, God will provide a way out. Let me tell you the interesting thing. I had a story about a kid that actually used to come record at my studio. One day I ran into him outside the church, and I was like, man, what you doing out here? You know, hey, you should come to the church. You know, like, what's going on? He was like, no, I got to go do some other stuff, right? So what happened was he actually got in trouble, broke his leg trying to run from somebody because he did something wrong, right? Now, I talked to one of his mentors, and I was like, man, what's so crazy is I told him to come to church. And guess what? His friend wanted to come to church. And this kid was like, nah, man, I'm not trying to do that. I'm trying to do something else. But that was his escape route. You know, and many times we don't pay attention to our escape routes because we're so caught up on what's going on. But if you say, God, renew my mind, God, show me the way, that's one of the prayers that we should pray. Well, my favorite prayer in the Bible is Psalms, I think it's 51, where he says, create in me, 51:10, right? Let me just look it up real quick. But it says, create in me a clean heart and renew a right spirit within me. Amen. And if we pray that, that's what God is able to do. He's able to reveal to you that your heart is wicked. Did you guys know that your heart is wicked? Right? Create in me a clean heart. Oh, God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me, or renew a right spirit within me. All right? So when we think about God, one thing that God will do is he will reveal that to you. He will show you where you're messing up. And if you know, hey, I'm messing up, you should get into God's presence. I had a conversation with my brother Che today about people. Sometimes people get in panic mode, and that's the only time they're going to search and seek God, right? Oh, God, let me really get into your presence because I don't want this to happen, right? But as soon as they're out of that panic mode, they're back to life as normal. But how many know sometimes God allows certain things in your life to bring you closer to him? Did you guys know that? Ever thought about that? Check this out. The story of Jonah. Now, Mariana was watching that this week. Remember you was watching the story of Jonah? Was watching it on, what is that called? Superbook. All right, my kids watch these cartoons on purpose because they're not watching all these other cartoons. But in Superbook, the story of Jonah, and these are pretty well written out, great graphics. But Jonah was called to go to Nineveh, and Jonah was like, those are our enemies, right? These are our enemies. Now, the interesting thing that as I was watching this week, I was thinking that the only reason why Jonah heard from God is because he was trying to run from God. He was in a place where he was trying to hear from God, but when he heard from God, it wasn't what he wanted to hear, right? So then he ran from God, got swallowed up. He was in another situation, right? God, get me out of this well. I'll do whatever you tell me to do. How many of us have prayed those prayers before?
We're just halfway through this sermon, but our prayer is that God is already speaking a dynamic word to you personally. But don't keep it to yourself. We need you to testify. We want to hear what God is doing. Give us a call or text us at 425-686-8197 to let us know what God is doing. If you're on Facebook, contact us at facebook.com/newcreationcc. Or on Twitter at New Creation WA. Now, let's tune in for the second half of this sermon.
God, whatever it takes, we've got to be careful about those sometimes, right? But God, I'm in a jam. Whatever you need to do, do it. I'll serve you for the rest of my life. I remember playing at Rainier Beach Little League, and one of the kids, we were in the weigh-in, and sometimes if you're too heavy, you can't play the game. So one of the kids was like, God, I'll go to church for 3 weeks if you just let me be underweight, right? And it was funny. He was overweight that game, but he got to play. It was interesting. Sometimes they did that. I don't know why, but they did it. But it shows the desperation that you really are in, but it only comes out of you sometimes when you are in the jam. Now check it out. After Jonah did that, Nineveh repented, he's in another jam. He starts cursing basically a tree that kept him in the shade. Man, I think about the whole story of Jonah. Jonah was a frustrated individual, right? He was going through it. He gets mad at God because God allowed a tree to come up in one day, right, to give him shade. Then he takes it away, and Jonah was upset. Starts tripping out, cursing. God, man, I wish that I would die. This is what that guy says, Jonah, because the shade of the tree was gone. And then we don't hear nothing else about Jonah. But the interesting thing is, it showed that Jonah is like many of us. Sometimes we're not grateful for what we have. Sometimes we don't want to forgive our enemies, right? But God says otherwise. And sometimes, guess what? Not only should we have to forgive, sometimes God will send you to forgive them personally, right? And it's interesting, but that's what God wants us to do. He wants us to grow. I think about the disciples in the Bible as they were with Jesus. There was many times where they said, we can't do this, or things didn't work out the way they thought it should. And they were frustrated. But as they wait, as they would wait for the Holy Spirit, God trained them up so that they can grow. Let me tell you something about the Holy Spirit as well. The Holy Spirit is the key element for you to grow in your walk with God, in your mind. All right? Why? Because the Holy Spirit is going to challenge your thought pattern, your thoughts, and your mindset. Check it out. I got one more story that I'm going to share, and then we're going to get into my last scripture. I was reading on, there's a Christian hip-hop producer. His name is Godframe. He actually had a blogger that he put out. And for Thanksgiving, he was cooking, and there was a guy across the street. There was like a, they stay there to keep them while they're trying to get everything together. Just like a place basically to help people out. And there was an elderly man there across the street, and he said, hey, he was just talking to him, hey, how you doing? And the Spirit of God told him to ask him to his house, and this is for Thanksgiving, right? Now, guess what? Spirit of God asked him, but he was like, man, why am I going to ask this guy in my house, right? He might have somewhere to go, blah, 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 blah. It just doesn't seem right, right? But that's, a lot of times, that's how you know it's the Spirit of God, because he's trying to tell you to do something you really don't want to do, right? So he shares, and he's like, oh, okay, I'm just going to have to ask him. Man, hey, if you're not doing anything, come over to my house for Thanksgiving. So he's like, okay, cool. So to make a long story short, he came to his house. He had been divorced for 17 years, and he was like, that's the first time I sat with a family anywhere since 17 years. And at the end of it, he was like, thank you for inviting me. I didn't have nothing to do. I didn't know what I was going to do, right? But it showed the impact, even with something that small as inviting somebody to eat at your house, can how that can impact somebody. And not only that, now they may even have a stronger relationship because of that. But the Holy Spirit will tell us many things in our lives that our mind will try to tell us not to do. But we must trust that the Holy Spirit knows more than we do. Amen? What is that scripture in the Bible where it says our thoughts are not even as high as God's thoughts? We can't even think or fathom the things that God has prepared for his people, right? These are scriptures because God is an all-knowing God. We are a finite man, which means that we don't know everything. Amen? Not only are we finite, we are flawed. God is not flawed. And God's word will teach you and show you how to avoid the flaws. Amen? Last scripture I'm going to read, passage of scripture I'm going to read is in Ephesians 4, verse 17. Through 24, and it says, this I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk in the futility of their mind. Now, what does futility mean? Does anybody know? Hopelessness. Anybody else give me another definition of futile? All right. Vain. Worthless. What did you say again, Jane? Hopelessness. All right? So guess what? People in this world are walking in hopelessness, not just in hopelessness, but in hopelessness in their mind. All right? I think I got one. It's an Uber story. All right, check this out. This week, I was driving somebody to the airport. They got in a car. It's kind of interesting because, you know, sometimes you never know what you're going to get, right? But this person, well off, they live in a nice house. And when she got in the car, she was like, man, I don't know what we're going to do for the next 8 years, right? And I'm like, 8 years? What is she talking about, right? Then she starts talking about, guess what? Come on, help me out. Trump, right. She starts talking about Trump and all the things that possibly can go wrong, and I was like, wait, listen. You know, I'm pretty cool with how I talk to the people. I said, listen, I can't live in fear like that. Right? Why? Because, and then I gave her an analogy of when we play football. One of the things about football that you cannot do is you cannot play scared. Right? All right, so when we first started as 89ers, and Keith, pay attention. When we first started playing football as 89ers, when you first start hitting people, you cannot duck. You cannot squirm, or you will get hurt. That's because people are living in fear. Now, the very first time I played, I got hit. I got hurt. But I wasn't squirming. I just didn't know they were going to hit you that hard. Right? All right? So, now, as I kept on going, I remember my brother Michael was playing with me, and we had to hit each other. Now, my brother Michael, he wasn't as big as I was, but he would squirm, right? And he didn't want to get hit. But as you learn, hey, if I just hit this thing face on, I can do much better than I can do if I try to be led by fear and move away and turn away, right? So I taught her that lesson and said, in the same way with Trump, now I'm not a fan of Trump, okay? Not a fan of any president. Like, no, I don't know none of these people, okay? But I will say this, I will not be living in fear based on what they can or can't do, right? And she was like, wow, yeah, that's true. And then, I mean, she had a whole bunch of stuff to say after that, and we started talking about just different things, changed the subject, basically. But one thing we have to understand is people in the world's mind are futile. They are worried about stuff that they have no control over, right? Another thing that's going on, I won't talk about that, but anyway, we have to not allow our minds to be tossed to and fro by fear. Amen? As believers, you have to control your mind. Now, what does fear do? It produces anxiety. All right? If you're anxious, the Bible says, do not be anxious about anything, but by everything, present your prayer and supplications to God. Amen? Pray about it. When you are fearful, instead of, oh, what are we going to do? Pray to God and say, God, give me wisdom and clarity on how I should live right now. Show me the direction. But the Bible says that people in this world walk in futility of their mind. And this is how they do it. It says, verse 18, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God. All right? So check this out. When you alienate yourself, which means to remove yourself from the life that God wants you to walk in, you begin to have a mind that is futile because you focus on things that are not what God wants you to focus on, which is normally temporarily things, right? Ever thought about that? You're not thinking about eternal things because to you it has no value. But for a believer, the eternal value is the most important thing that we have, right? That's the reason why I don't treat people just any way. I have to treat them the way God tells me to treat them so that I am in right standing with God because I want to live the life that God has given me. Amen? It says, not only they alienate themselves from the God, but it says, because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart. So when we think about your mind can be blinded by your heart if you don't accept what God's word says. See how that works? It says in verse 19, this is still those that have a futile mind. It says, who being past feelings have given themselves over to lewdness. And that's one of the words we don't really say a lot, but that's the wrong thing. So let's just be clear. To work all uncleanness with greediness. But then it says, hold up. If you don't want to fall in that pattern, this is it says, but you have not learned so Christ. That's them. But it says, if indeed you have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off, this is what we must do to have our minds right, all right? Put off concerning your former conduct. All right, now we all know, what is our former conduct? The way that we used to live. Now, if you want your mind to stay in the same place, keep living the way that you used to live. Right? If you want things to change, but keep doing the same thing, they call that insanity. Now, some people may not have had to go and be deemed insane, but they follow the same pattern. Right? I talk to many people who have relationships and they don't work. Why don't they work? How do you approach these people? You ever ask these people these questions? Where do you find these people that you end up dating? For real. Well, let's change something if you want the results to change. Right? Let's change the way we think about this person if we want results to change. This is important. Amen? But it says, put off the former conduct, the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lust. Have you ever thought about people that actually have a lust problem? They don't think that it's deceitful. You guys ever know that? They actually think it's okay. They don't see anything wrong with it because their mind has become futile. All right? 23 says, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man which it was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. All right? Let me read those last two verses. And be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. Now, something that kind of actually is interesting is the other scriptures just said be renewed in your mind, but this time it says renewed in the spirit of your mind, which tells me this. Your mind is controlled by a spirit. Now, it can be controlled by the spirit of God or the spirit of the evil one. Now, I don't hear a lot of people speak on these things, but the only way for your mind to be controlled by the Spirit of God is to put the Word of God into your mind. Amen? That's the only way that that can happen. If you continue to do your own thing and be led your own way, guess what? You are being led astray by the evil one. But we must allow God's Word to transform the spirit of our mind. Amen? So as we listen today, let us make sure we are growing in our mind by accepting the Spirit of God and not the spirit of this world. Amen? Heavenly Father, I thank you to God for your word. I thank you for the chance, dear God, that you've given us all to be made righteous, oh God. Not by the things that we do, but by accepting your word. God, I pray to God that you would help us to accept your word. Maybe there's some things that we're battling with. God, give us the wisdom, the understanding, and the insight to follow your word. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Lord, I pray to God that you be with us as we leave this place. Whenever your presence, I pray for each and every person here, their families represented, oh God, the different things that they're dealing with. God, I pray to God that you would be with them, comfort them, lead and guide them. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Let the church say, amen.
We thank you for listening to today's sermon, and we pray that you are impacted to become the new creation that God desires. We at New Creation Christian Center invite you to come join us for service Saturday at 7 p.m. or Sunday at 11 a.m. located at 5150 South Cloverdale Street, Seattle, Washington. Also, feel free to visit us online at newcreationwa.org. New Creation Christian Center, the path to genuine life, where you can come as you are and be transformed by the Word of God.